Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How is everyone doing? I hope everybody is doing well. Thank you for your patience. We're starting a little late today. We were having some problems connecting with my guest today, Janet Connor, and Janet's her patience trying to get her connected to me today. It's been one of those days, but we're going to be talking about her book, Writing Down Your Soul, in just a few minutes. I usually do a good 10-minute intro, and today I'm going to cut that short for the purposes of us starting late and so that I can get right to my guest. So there's just a few things that I want to mention because it's super important. I mentioned it briefly last week, I think, but on October 6th, if you're in South Florida, and you, I'm going to be doing a ribbon cutting and a book signing for a new Barnes & Noble in Coral Springs, Florida at 10 a.m. So that's October 6th. So please, if you come on, if you're in, you know, the neighborhood, stop on by. I'm really excited that they asked me to do that. The newspaper is going to be there, so it's going to be really, really cool. Every week I share a manifesting a magic manifesting message. It's a postcard that I take, an image of a postcard that I take of a message, of an affirmation, and I focus on that affirmation for the week. And this week's manifestation affirmation is, I am an image maker. And I'm a person who has the ability to invent and develop original ideas, especially in the arts. That is where I tap into my creativity. My spirituality and my creativity are very closely linked. And being an image maker invites me into a conversation between my higher self and my imagination. It's a drive I have to express myself outwardly. It's interesting that today's guest has also done that with her writing, as she has gotten some amazing answers from doing her spiritual artwork, which through her is by writing. I have recently added writing to the different ways I tap into my creativity. Writing doesn't flow as easy as photography does for me. I speak through images, as many photographers, painters, and visual artists do. And creativity is not about craft or a skill, although it might need a skill to achieve it. It's more about an impulse, a longing, a deep desire to explore. I believe it comes from a force greater than ourselves. It's tapping into a spiritual connection. So when you think of yourself in your own spirituality, what comes up for you? How does that show up? Are you tapping into your creativity as a spiritual language? Are you finding ways to honor yourself? I believe it opens up dimensions of the spirit. So often we are stuck in our everyday life, just going through the motions, and our souls are trying to speak to us, but we aren't listening. Today's show is going to help all of us tap into our souls so that we can really learn to listen to what it has to say. Many times we're getting signs to pay attention, so today is going to be a great conversation with how to discover our connection with our spirit. And as my guest today, Janet Connor, says, and I quote, "Writing down your soul is a mystical practice that drops you into theta, the threshold between worlds where you begin to hear who wants to be heard and find yourself falling in love with this magical voice. As you move through life holding hands with your sacred voice, you begin to see who you really are and the life you really want to live. And you find the courage and grace to create that life." Okay, so if you want to see the magic messages that I just was referring to, go to Postcards to the Universe. I'm all over social media, and you can find the images that I post every week. Next week, I have my returning guest, Reverend Gregory Postman, who is a psychic trance channel, and Gregory channels over 40 light beings, and he's going to be doing live channeling on the show. It's always so amazing when he's here, so you want to join us for that. All right, so to get to my guest today, author Janet Connor. She's a prayer artist, deep soul explorer, field guide in the mystic, and devoted daughter of the divine feminine and the ancient memory of original prayer. Janet's book, Writing Down Your Soul, How to Activate and Listen to the Extraordinary Voice Within, became a bestseller, opening a path to the lotus and the lily, soul vows, find your soul's purpose, and more. When quote-unquote prayer artists came calling in 2018, Janet found herself writing a whole new genre of prayer, redefining prayer altogether, and leading radical prayer intensives. She is the host of Praying at the Speed of Love, such a great title, I love that, sharing intimate conversations with authors about their prayer lives. You can find out more about Janet if you go to her website, Janet, J-A-N-E-T, Connor, C-O-N-N-E-R.com. Welcome, Janet. Thank you for being here with me today.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
You sound a little low, so you might want to turn up your microphone.
Okay. And I
do. Let me say, yeah, you sound a little low to me.
How's that?
Better. Yeah, okay. That's better. Thank you so much for your patience. I know it was quite a day trying to get you connected, but you know, something's in the air. I don't know. But that's okay. So why don't you just share a little bit about who you are and how this all started? I mean, I was reading your book this week and your early story is amazing. So I'm just going to let you share. Go ahead.
Well, and it is shocking to me, my story. Mm-hmm. I never expected this life. I didn't plan for this life. I didn't ask for this life, not on a conscious level in any way, shape, or form. But this life was waiting for me. And so I could say she came calling for me. So way back when, I created the hiring program at CNN. My husband was the first director of field operations. We were having a grand time in the 80s, creating something that never existed before. We take 24-hour news and CNN for granted, but creating it was wild.
It was, I can imagine.
It was so much fun. And I had the task of finding people that actually wanted to work there at a time when we always thought the news was on at 10 o'clock at night, or it was on the news in the newspaper on your doorstep in the morning. And that's the life I was planning and enjoying no end. And then things began to deteriorate with my husband. We moved to Florida, and things got worse and worse and worse. But being a well-trained woman in a patriarchal society, I just kept trying harder and harder and harder to make it work. And on New Year's Eve of 1995, I was sitting in my back office in my home, and I went to turn the calendar over. Okay, now it's going to be January 1st of 1996. And I just sat there in so much pain and so much suffering. And I just didn't want another year like the year I had just been through. But I didn't know what to do. And I had no direction on this. It came out of nowhere. I opened my desk drawer, pulled out a piece of paper, and in complete frustration, I wrote, "I want you to find me. I will sit in a field until you find me."
And this, now, I didn't who are know you what writing to?
Well,
you know
I didn't.
Who you're even
it
writing
was,
to?
No, this was not an intellectual decision in any way, shape, or form. I didn't have a journaling practice. So you was the divine, but it didn't have a name. It wasn't, it was just these words flowing out of me out of desperation. Now, you're an image person. As I was writing this, I clearly saw, it was just a sentence on a scrap of paper, but I clearly saw myself sitting in a field. The ground was yellow, so it was dry. It was like autumn. There were trees in the distance, but nothing near me or around me, and I'm sitting on the ground. And I had this clear feeling that God couldn't fucking miss me, right? I mean, I'm sitting in a field, all right? You have got to find me because I don't know what to do.
Right.
Now, the thing that's so adorable about that story is that in 2013, when my second book, The Lotus and the Lily, came out, the churches that invited me to come and speak put me up in this Franciscan seminary in retreat center in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. So I go for a little walk. I'm just going to go for a little walk. Get ready, because I have to teach workshops for the entire weekend. I have to speak on Sunday. I'm just going for a little walk in the woods. What do I come upon as I turn a corner? An enormous labyrinth. It's fall. There are trees in the distance around this labyrinth. It's like Chartres Cathedral size. It's huge. And I knew a little something about labyrinths. So I go, oh, this will be fun. And I go for a walk on the labyrinth. And as I'm entering the middle, I just put my arms out. I'm alone. Nobody's there. And I'm sort of flying. And I say, I let go. I let go. I let go. I just want to let go of any of the stress that I'm feeling about. I have to teach all weekend. I get to the middle. And somebody had put a little bench. There was a cute little wooden bench right smack in the middle. I've never seen a labyrinth with a bench in the middle. So I sit down, and the October sun is on my neck. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely gorgeous, cool but warm. And it's almost like yellow snow falling because the trees are all letting go. I am not thinking. I am not asking for anything. I'm not planning anything. I'm just sitting. And I absolutely, positively heard a voice. Like a person, like an angel, walking up to me and whispering, your soul wants one thing. And I didn't get it right away. I didn't get it, Melissa, until I got on the plane on Monday morning to fly home. And I looked down on this little plane, and I'm looking over the Iowa fields, seeing if perchance I can find that field, I can see that labyrinth. And I burst into tears. Luckily, there was nobody sitting next to me, because all those years later, 1995 to 2013, I realized I was found. I was in a field. It was yellow. I was completely alone, and she found me.
Wow. That's a beautiful story.
That's exactly how I felt. That this is such a wow. And it's such a confirmation that we don't have to intellectually plan. I mean, I did. I did discover deep soul writing because of going through this horrific divorce. That's how
you talk about in the book, he turned violent when you decided to change and leave the relationship. And I was quite amazed at how, first of all, you could write while you were going through, because you describe in detail what you don't hold back. You definitely share what happened. You describe in detail. So I was kind of amazed that you could actually hear the voice, which we'll get into what the voice is. And that you could, you know, that you did have miracles happen all during all this chaos, is where you were basically in hiding because your ex-husband turned violent. And also how you shifted the dynamic with the violent ex-husband. I have goosebumps, because when we face our problems, you know, truthfully, we face our problems, right? And something happens and we're resistant and we have anger and frustration and it creates more of this darker, heavier energy. And everybody told you were crazy, but you made a decision to change the dynamic with your ex-husband for the sake of your son. So I'm going to let you share a little bit about that.
But before we get to the forgiveness part,
Yeah.
That was 3 years in.
Right, sure.
For the first 3 years.
Right. It wasn't like that.
No. And this is a mistake that spiritual people make. Instead of feeling their feelings, feeling their anger, living the life they're actually having, expressing their fears, being where they are, we have a tendency to think, oh, I'm supposed to be peaceful. Oh, I'm supposed to meditate and find bliss. Oh, I'm supposed to forgive. But if you're not in that place, then you're just superimposing it over yourself, and you're not in the life, in the emotions, in the moment that you're actually living. Now, I didn't, as I say over and over again, have any kind of plan here. I simply was terrified.
Yes, I can see how you would be.
I'm sitting in the living room with the blinds shut because I truly, thought I would be the victim of a drive-by shooting. My family mm-hmm. wanted me to go into hiding. The principal of my son's school said, why aren't you in hiding? And I did go into hiding four times, but for a week or for a weekend. Mm-hmm. I didn't try to, you know, disappear and, I don't know, go to Cancun. I just couldn't. I had no idea how to live that kind of life. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting in the living room crying. For 4 months, I sat in the living room with the blinds shut, sobbing. Now, I think this is actually normal. When you get the cancer diagnosis, you sit and you sob. When mm-hmm. you go bankrupt, you sit and you sob. When your partner yes. cheats you in business, you sit and you sob. When your son becomes mm-hmm. addicted, you sit and you sob. When there's a suicide, you know,
right,
you sit and you sob. However, I think 4 months of this wasn't getting me very far. And right. I couldn't see, when you're in that, place, you're completely non-functional. I was completely non-functional. So I'm sitting in the kitchen, in the living room, mm-hmm. and my Great Dane puppy, who was always, 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 always with me. If I got up to go to the bathroom, Harley came and went to the bathroom mm-hmm. with me. I mean, he was with me always. And for some reason, I noticed he wasn't next to me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's weird. Where's Harley? So I called him, Harley, where are you? And he didn't come. Mm-hmm. What? So I got up and I looked down the long hall.
And I'm sure part of you got nervous, too, because you're already on alert, right?
Yeah. I was in such a crazy place. I hope none of your listeners ever have to have this experience, but I not only had a security system, but Brinks got me this thing that you wear. You don't even have to get to the phone to dial 911. You can press a button on this necklace that you wear. I slept with the thing. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But so yes, you could say I was a little on edge.
Yeah.
And my darling baby wasn't there. So I call him. I see him at the end of the hallway. And he's a puppy, so he's very, very skinny. And I can see that his head is hanging down and he's trying to bring me something or, you know, I don't know what's going on. The hallway's kind of long. And so I walked up to him and I said, hey there, baby, what you got? What you got? And I lift his head. Now, This is even by my standards, and I live a very miraculous life, a pretty wild experience, but this is the moment that everything changed. And in his jaw was my unread, untouched copy of The Artist's Way.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a total wreck. I've been crying for 4 months. I'm terrified that I'm going to be killed. But even as much as a wreck as I was, I knew, wait a second.
Yeah.
This is a moment. This is help. So I sat down. I sat down and read the book. Mm-hmm. I made it to page 15, and I owe Julia Cameron an apology because I never read past page 15. I'm very sorry to tell you. Because
but you found the three pages, right? The three pages?
She doesn't. I wasn't reading the section about morning pages, and I don't call what I do morning pages, but she clearly says on page 15 mm-hmm. that when I, meaning Julia, am stuck and have a problem that I cannot solve, I turn to the page and access a source of wisdom within. That's it.
Two sentences.
I threw down her book. I threw down her book. And I ran into my office and got a blank journal. Because you know if I bought her book, I bought a blank journal. I just had never read her book and I had never picked up the journal.
Yeah, I worked her book for a while. I worked it for a while, so I know the book, yeah. Uh-huh.
I worked it for 15 pages. Now, it actually was a blessing. It was a blessing that I didn't finish the book, that I've never read a book on journaling, even though I have the number one book for 4 years in journaling. Mm-hmm. I had no intellectual instructions. I had no guidance. I had no internal, now you do this, now you do that.
Right.
I just picked up a pen. Now Harley's got his head on my lap. We're doing this together. He's back. He's done his miraculous angel delivery job. And I wrote, Dear God, comma. Now, I don't know exactly why I did that. I was raised a Catholic, so okay. Mm-hmm. But But why? But I did it. I wrote, "Dear God, comma." Now I'm writing really, really fast. And even as I put in that comma, I always still put in a comma on my daily deep soul writing, although I no longer address it to Dear God. There's this feeling, this awareness that something is present, something is coming forward, something is saying yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Is there something you want to say? Well, there were a few things I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. Because this Dear God person, whoever this Dear God person was, wasn't doing a very good job. And this Dear God person wasn't paying attention. And so I needed to tell this Dear God person what was going on in my life and what this Dear God person needed to be doing. So I'm writing in anger and frustration. Okay. All of those emotions, everything I'm feeling is pouring out of me onto the page. I'm writing really, really fast. There are no sentences. There's no capitalization. Right. There's no nothing. I'm screaming. I'm vomiting onto the page. Mm-hmm. I did this for probably 2 hours.
Wow.
At the end of the 2 hours, I cannot say that anything really happened. Mm-hmm. But I felt better. I did feel better. So the next day,
I was going to ask you if you were angry and you wrote angry to God, because you know when bad things happen to us, you know, I'm also raised Catholic, and you know I have been known to get really mad at God, like, where were
Absolutely.
you didn't take care of this, you know, kind of thing. Like,
I did that
you're
for
falling
3 years.
Down on the job. Right. So.
And that's exactly what I told Dear God. Mm-hmm. But I said it in violent language and anger and frustration.
Good. So I'm not the only one.
No, there was no holding back. No holding back whatsoever. And really, when you think about it, you're going to hold back. If you really think you're talking to a divine being, a divine presence,
right.
you think the divine being doesn't know what's going on and what you're feeling. But
that's
I didn't question any of that. I just vomited onto the page. So the next day,
before we get to the next day, we're only going to take one break because we started late today. So we're going to, I messaged the producer. So let's take our break here, because then I want to get into the next day and what shifted, because amazing things have happened. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Conscious media for conscious minds. OM Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The rainbow is God's promise of hope for you and me. And though the clouds hang heavy and the sun we cannot see, we know above the dark clouds that fill the stormy sky, hope's rainbow will come shining through when the clouds have drifted by. To Teresa Caprio is the president and founder of Rainbow Guardian, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 serving the intellectually challenged / developmentally disabled, including autism. Teresa started the foundation in 1995 so she could help make a better life for her intellectually challenged daughter. Her dream is that the Rainbow Guardian will provide the necessary tools and education to help the public understand the special needs population, because it's often discarded in mainstream society. To find out more or make a donation in support, please go to www.rainbowguardian.org. Rainbow Guardian's special mission is to see these unique people live a happy, full life and have a future of liberty and equality.
If you're just joining me, I have author Janet Connor on talking about her book, Writing Down Your Soul, as my guest today. So, Janet, we were talking about right before the break that your first inclination was you wrote a letter to God and you vented for 2 hours. Yeah. And then you said the next day. So let's go with the next day. So you felt a little better, a little better.
Exactly. Just, you know, vomiting, getting it out of me onto paper. That felt better.
Right.
So the next day I go at it again. Dear God, I'm still livid. Mm-hmm. And so this continued day after day. I'm going to say for 4, 5, 6 days, I had no idea what was about to happen. I was just showing up venting every single day. But one day I'm writing very, very quickly, because when you're very, very upset, your hand's going to move full speed ahead. And I must have just been weary of listening to myself complain. And I did something that I hadn't done yet. I asked a question. Immediately, because I'm writing really, really, really fast, something came through, flew onto the page, and I dropped the pen and screamed because I knew I didn't say that.
Right. You knew it wasn't your voice.
That is so not me. I knew what I was doing, and what I was doing was moaning and complaining. And I was telling dear God that he needed to get together. We needed some smiting and smoting done on a certain person. I knew what I was constantly saying. This was something gentle and loving and different and directive. Mm-hmm. And so I very tentatively put my pen back down. I went back to bitching and moaning and venting and screaming, but then I began to notice, go ahead, Janet, show up for 45 minutes, let dear God, know what's going on. And then when you're tired of that, when you're finished with that, what do you say you start asking questions, big questions? And writing very quickly, just allow answers, direction, guidance, comfort to come through. And I pretty quickly began to trust this voice. Okay, because I had problems I couldn't solve. I was in a financial disaster. I was going to lose my home. My business had fallen apart at the seams. My son was no longer going to be able to stay in private school. I had no idea how I was going to survive. And minor detail, I might not actually live. So I had a lot of questions. And once again, I had no direction on questions. Now I'm so madly in love with questions that there are, I think, 45 pages of great questions in Writing Down Your Soul, because there are questions that are a waste of time.
Yes.
And they are the questions we humanly ask. When? When?
When's a good
am
one.
I going? When, right. When, I mean, we all want to ask when.
When,
and the universe isn't interested in answering when, because the universe wants to know, well, what are you doing to create the conditions in your life, in your heart, in you, that this beautiful thing that you're wanting can happen? And we, of course, want to ask, why me? Why me?
That's a big one. Why me?
Right?
Why did you
total
allow
waste
this to
of time?
To me? Right.
And but these are, and so what I began to stumble upon is, well, what kind of questions activate this divine voice to really give me the guidance, the direction, the blessings, and the miracles I need? Here is just one.
Okay.
This is a question I've never stopped asking. I'm still asking it. I asked it all during COVID when we were all in quarantine. The question is, what have I been unwilling to see?
That's a good question. Yeah.
This is, if you will ask that question of, call it your soul, call it divinity, call it universal mind, call it the universe, call it whatever you want. If you are willing to ask a question like that, the universe would be thrilled to start to answer. Well, Melissa, here are a few things you might have been unwilling to see, but darling, they're right there. They're right in front of you. When you ask questions like that, it's almost like the cells in your body start to rearrange themselves. And so without any direction or guidance, and this is why I wrote the book, because I do want to give people, here are five categories of question that'll just set your heart on fire. And the voice is thrilled.
Yeah, I really like that in the book. I like that in the book a lot, in fact. I'm going to start doing some of the questions. I really, really enjoyed that you give me some questions, because sometimes you don't, you know what to even ask, especially if, knock on wood, things are going and pretty good and pretty decent. It's usually when we're in distress, right, that we're like,
Well, that's what gets you. And this is why, in the end, we're grateful for the horrible things that happen. If my husband had never kind of crossed that line from just being a pain in the ass to actually being violent, he was succumbing to drug addiction and prescription drug addiction. But I couldn't. And even if you can figure out, oh, that's what's going on, you still have to live with the situation that you're in. So I feel now that, no, I shouldn't even say I feel, I know now that we had a soul contract.
Right.
And we came here together for this purpose, and he fulfilled his part perfectly. Now, if you try to say that to someone while they're in the horror, in the terror, they're just going to want to,
Yeah, I understand that. I understand. Yeah, exactly.
But afterwards, if we're willing to get on our knees in deep soul writing, in prayer, in whatever processes open you to the mystic, to the threshold, to possibility, if you quit clinging to the life you think is going to keep you safe and protected. I clung so hard. Let me just keep this house. Nope, there goes the house. Let me just keep this career. Nope, there goes that career. I wish now I'd let go a little sooner, but I think I needed, how can I talk to you about it? How can I write these books? How can I invite you into this threshold, the theta brainwave state, the threshold between worlds, if I haven't suffered my way?
Well, in the book you talk about and I just want to make so few people to understand, it's different from journaling, and I'm going to let you describe how it's different from journaling, and you call it the voice with the big capital V. There's a reason for that. So who is the voice, or what is the voice, and how is it different than saying people who just like to daily journal? Because I understand from reading your book the difference, but for those who are just hearing you for the first time, they may sound like, well, she's talking about journaling. Well, yes, but not exactly. There's much more to it than that.
Because it's going so much deeper. And the answer is in the very first thing I did when I picked up a pen. I wrote, Dear God, comma. So what I was doing now, I can look back, is I was telling myself, we're going to drop out of conscious mind. We are going to access something so much bigger than myself. And so once I sort of studied and looked back at what is going on when I do this, that it is so miraculous. And I now have a teaching video about it, the 7 steps to get into the theta brainwave state while writing. And it's a gift that's available to anybody. The URL is in the book, It's writing. It's janaconner.com/writingdownyoursoul, because I want everybody to understand the difference between journaling and deep soul writing. So very quickly, they are: set the intention to exit conscious mind. Number two, address the voice by name. I don't care what name you use. You could call it Dear Waldo, Dear Committee, Dear One, Dear Beloved. Give it a name. And then as you slowly develop this love relationship, then the name will shift and it will change, because these are love letters. You say postcards to the universe. I'm writing love letters. That's the same thing. And so,
yeah, and I picked universe for a specific reason, and you mentioned it, because I also was thinking postcards to God, and I realized that a lot of people get turned off by God. And so I figured universe has a more neutral energy to
universal.
It's universal, exactly, and people can accept universe. A lot of people can't accept God.
This actually is a very important point. Now, there are people, when I look at I think I'm up to almost 500 reviews on Amazon for Writing Down Your Soul, and they make me laugh.
Congratulations. That's fantastic.
But they make me laugh, because there will be people that say, there's religious content in this book. Don't buy this book under any circumstances.
Right,
because I do explore, what about the name of God? What about Hineni? What about Shekhinah? What about, you know, because I'm trying to answer the question. There's this chapter called Who or What is Listening Anyway?
And
I try to say, well, here are some possibilities. And they are neutral names like universe or friend or beloved. And then there are religious names. But the problem, and then there'll be people saying, this isn't Christian enough, or this is too Christian. You know, it's like, okay, can't win this one. But there is a problem in general with the word God, because for 3,000 years now, our entire society, not just the religious components, but the entire society is patriarchal. And patriarchal organizations, familial organizations, religious organizations, government relationships, organizations, they're all based on the three main patriarchal religions. And so that word God, it's a Germanic word, and it means good. It just carries. It can't help itself.
It carries a heavy weight.
Now, mind you, I wrote to Dear God for a long time. I was raised Irish Catholic. I haven't been a practicing Catholic since I was 19, but come on, it's in there. And then, because I wrote so fast, I started to write to DG. So DG was no longer, it didn't carry that Catholic, but it was definitely not, it was something. So I wrote DG, and I did this for years. And then in December of 2014, I got sick. I never get sick. Once I got through the divorce, and I never get sick, so this got my attention. Oh, something's happening here. And this is big sick. This is not get out of the chair sick, except to go to the bathroom. So I sat in my chair, and I did a little deep soul writing and did a little deep soul reading for what turned out to be 40 days and 40 nights. You don't know that when you're in it. But on the day I felt better, I looked back at the calendar and went, how long have I been like this?
It was 40 days and 40 nights.
40 days and 40 nights. Come on. So anybody in any tradition is going to recognize 40 is this mystical period of transformation, right?
Yes, it is.
Now, during that time period, I could only do a little deep soul writing and a little deep soul reading. And so I was stuck with the books that I had piled up next to me on my reading table. It just so happened that all the books were Margaret Starbird's books on Mary Magdalene, Cynthia Bourgeau, The Meaning of Mary Magdalene, a book by a German scholar called Wisdom Has Built Her House, about the history of the divine feminine, Sophia, the dove, Venus, Aphrodite, throughout history. It's not easy reading, but boy, it was kind of fun. So that she brings you all the way up to the dove landing on Jesus's left shoulder. I never noticed that when I, the feminine. And she says that any first century Palestinian would roll their eyes and go, oh, that's Shekhinah, that's the divine, that's the dove, that's Sophia, that's Chochmah, that's wisdom saying he's our boy. Now, these are the only books. And I'm doing my reading and I'm doing my deep soul writing and I'm best friends with the bathroom. And on December 26th, I pick up a pen.
The bathroom.
Really good.
Been there. Okay.
But yep. Once again, okay, the divorce was no fun. Being sick right. for 40 days was no fun, but it was a blessing because what was about to happen on December 26th would never have happened if I weren't stuck in that chair and stuck mm-hmm. with those books. So I pick up a pen, I go to write DG comma, and it won't come out.
Interesting.
It will. My hand will not write DG. This is not in my control. Out of my hand comes beloved vibration of Sophia! Exclamation wow. point. And I have to give her, she won't, you better give her that exclamation point. Everything changed, Melissa.
Wow.
In that moment, everything changed. And I have been thinking about this and writing about this ever since. Why did everything change? My world changed, my mystical life changed, my prayer life changed, everything changed, my deep soul writing changed. Why did everything change? Because the first time in my life, God fit in this body, this female body. I thought I had a pretty close relationship with dear God. And my books tell the stories, the miraculous stories. But I now have an ecstatic, intimate, exquisite, immeasurable. She loves me so much, and I love her so much. There is a dramatic difference. Because patriarchy has taught us that God is external, God is male, God's in the cloud, God's got a lot of laws. God's a little on the cranky side in all three religions. God is really cranky. The beloved mother, call her Our Lady, call her Shekhinah, call her any name you want. She's not external. She's in your body. She doesn't have laws and rules and dogma and theology. She just adores you. She's your mother. And she wants you to live a whole and beautiful and sacred and loving life. Since December 26th of 2014, whoa, things have gotten even more incredible. And yet, every single day, deep soul writing. It's just that now I write, and she changes her name a lot. At the moment, it's Beloved Vibration of Mother Sophia, Our Lady of the Threshold, Queen of the Aeon. She has three names now. Mother,
it.
Lady,
Well, it sounds
queen.
Like a very mystical experience that you
exactly.
had. Deep, yeah, which not everybody has, you know, to have that kind of. You remind me when you talk of listening to Carolyn Mace. I don't know if you've ever listened
oh, yeah.
to her when she talks about her experiences. Oh, yeah. It reminds me, I love her so much. And it really, really reminds me of that. I can hear it in your description. I can hear
She it. Has like, a very yeah. intimate relationship with. Now she talks to God. She even calls God Lord, which gives me the creeps. But
that's from her perspective.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Now I do want to answer your question about so who is the voice, because this is an unanswerable question. When because it's your intimate relationship. Who is the beloved to you? So when I turned in the manuscript to Canary back in 2007, they gave it to this magnificent editor named Amy Rost. And she gave me a lot of feedback and she rearranged she just did a magnificent job with the book. But there was one thing she really fussed about, and she said, "You're not answering the question, who is the voice?" And she was writing to Dear Committee. She edited my book. Writing to Dear Committee. Yes.
Okay.
And she told me, the committee told her what to do with the edits. So I trusted the edit. If she told me that the committee told her to edit something, I just approved it. But I couldn't get her off my back. So I finally, for her, wrote the closing paragraph in the chapter, Who or What is Listening? And this is what I wrote. Choosing a name is a delightful exercise, but for some people, it still leaves a nagging question. Who is the voice? Is the voice some form of divine being or consciousness? Is it an angel, guardian, or guide? Is it some sort of divine spokesperson? Or is it a higher form of yourself talking back to you from a future, more advanced state? The answer is yes. The voice is all that and more. I don't mean to be glib. The voice you see is a paradox. It is the largest consciousness, yet it squeezes itself through the tiniest tip of your pen. It's the massive noise of creation, yet you hear it as the faintest sound deep within your soul. It is cosmically profound, yet it speaks with you about such ordinary things. Does that paradox frustrate you? Don't worry. The voice will reveal itself to you over time. Your understanding will evolve and your trust and intimacy will grow. In the end, the voice is who you believe it to be, where you perceive it to be, what you know it to be. Be at peace with that and enjoy the conversation.
What a beautiful description.
After I sent that to Amy, she shut up and she stopped complaining about defining the voice.
It's a beautiful description. I mean, what? All right. So for those listening, what should we be doing every day to start having this conversation with the voice? How should we start?
Well, get into the habit.
Okay.
If I ever have a day when I don't do a little deep soul writing around 6 o'clock in the evening, 5 o'clock in the evening, I'll be like out of kilter. It's like, what the hell's the matter with you, Janet? And I'll realize, oh, today the trees had to come down and I didn't get to the, this is my grounding. Mm-hmm. I show up every single day. I've got water beside me. I've got my coffee beside me. I have a journal open on my lap. Sometimes I do a little reading first. Sometimes I say hello on the page first. So I'll say, Dear Mother, Our Lady, the Queen, comma. And then I say hello. And I tell her what's been going on. And I tell her, oh, I have an interview with Melissa today. And I talk about my life. And sometimes I have big things to say. Sometimes I want to tell her about a dream. I had kind of a creepy dream last night. She and I are going to have chats about that dream. I don't understand it, and I want some guidance on it, because I really don't want to have that dream again. Please tell me what you're trying to tell me. So I talk about everything. I'm going to talk about the beautiful a class I had last night in a Writing Down Your Soul intensive. And I just want to thank her. Oh, my goddess, it was so exciting. It was so beautiful. Thank you. So I am simply having a conversation every single day, non-negotiable, sharing with her where I am, asking her for her guidance. And as I'm writing, sometimes very deep, profound, beautiful new things come through. Sometimes we just have chats. Sometimes I feel the urge to pick up a book. I always have books next to me, and I'll read something. I might read a paragraph, I might read a whole chapter, and there will always, always be something on that page that like lifts off the page, flies through the air, and lands on my heart. I'll say it out loud. I'll look up and stare off in space, and I'll tell her as if she didn't know. Did you know this? Did you hear this? And I'll say it out loud to her.
Right. So when you write the question, do you give it a moment to see if an answer comes through? Do you take like a breath?
At this point, because I'm rarely hysterical anymore.
Right.
My handwriting is a little slower. I actually can read it sometimes. When I was writing during the divorce, I was writing so fast and so angrily
that
I couldn't even read it. And,
right.
And that turned out to be a good thing, because guess what my ex-husband did? The very first thing he did was break into the house and steal my journal. And then he returned it to his attorney because he couldn't read a single word. And I have learned since that actually, if you are going through a dangerous time period, you really got to shred your journals, because attorneys do subpoena them, which is a terrible thing.
It's a terrible thing.
But you don't want to deprive yourself of this exquisite opportunity to have divine dialogue to heal yourself. So if you have to shred your journals, shred your journals. But today,
yeah, well, I love in the book that you give us questions so we can start there.
Yeah.
Which I think but is it, really,
please understand
really
it's just yeah. a starting ground.
Yes.
It's not the magic list.
Right.
I don't look to those questions anymore. This conversation is such a flow. It's that Mobius strip picture that I have. Mm. I write, she listens, she writes, I listen. And now it's just a daily, intimate, I'll call it a prayer practice. She adores
like
me.
It.
I know she adores me. She teaches me. She guides me. I'm in this conversation with you, Melissa, because she set it up.
Oh, you just gave me goosebumps. I love it. And which I love, Jana, is you offer intensives. So for those who really resonate mm-hmm. with what we're talking about today, if they want to go even deeper with you yeah. personally, they can do that, which is really, really nice. Because it's just a beautiful story. It's you had a mystical experience, and it's really yeah. amazing in modern day.
And it's normal. I am the most mm-hmm. normal person on the face of the earth. I'm a Midwestern girl who, you know, used to teach deaf kids.
We're wrapping
up. The experience is real.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
we got off to a rocky start, but it was perfect. Thank you, Jana, for being here with
you.
Me today. And please check out Jana Connor and her book, Writing Down Your Soul. Thank you all for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, Creating the Life You Crave. And I'm wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.